Good evening, brothers and sisters. A very warm welcome to the several thousand of you in attendance here at the Kitchener Memorial Invitation Auditorium, as well as many thousands of others of you listening in by telephone at the Assembly Halls and Kingdom Hall complexes from as far east as Montreal and Aylmer, Quebec, to Nanaimo on Vancouver Island. Actually, there are 14 locations tied in by telephone hookup this evening: Montreal, Aylmer, Norval, London, Sault Ste. Marie, Thunder Bay, Winnipeg, Regina, Saskatoon, Calgary, Edmonton, Vernon, Surrey, and Nanaimo. So to all of you in the audience, visible and invisible, we say a very warm welcome. Isaiah 9:6 and 7 is a noteworthy prophecy and foregleam of the theocratic increase and abundant kingly rule of Jesus Christ and his messianic kingdom. Thus, it serves as a suitable basis for our opening song, number 53, entitled Theocracy's Increase. So let's stand, friends, and sing together song 53, following which Brother Thomas Jones will open this special program with prayer. Song 53. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we are so happy to come before you in our thousands in this vast land. What a thrill it is to be able to meet as one body and worship, praise you as the mighty God of all eternity. O Jehovah, how good it is that we can come together like this, and especially on the branch's special occasion, the visit of our zone overseer. It is so good to have a visit from the headquarters here, as it helps to bind us together with you, with your theocratic organization around the globe. And so, Jehovah, for our talks this night, may your blessing richly rest upon each one of our speakers. And we pray, Jehovah, that what is said, as we know it will be, will add honor and praise to your high and lofty name. Gracious God, what a time it is, a pleasure to live in this time of the end, as we see the rapid approaching of that great day that you spoke about so long in your word. And so, Jehovah, we beg of you for your spirit to guide and direct all things this night. And we pray that where we may fail you individually, may we have your pardon. We ask all these things in the name of our ransomer, our King, Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is a special meeting with our visiting zone overseer, Brother Stephen Hardy, being the principal speaker. As well, all of you listening to this program are a special audience, in that all in attendance are elders, ministerial servants, or pioneers, along with your respective mates. You have been chosen to hear this program not only for your own benefit, but so that you might in turn share these spiritual good things with your fellow workers and your home congregations, not only from the platform, but in your daily conversations. Thus, many thousands of others will further benefit from the program. As the Society's invitation letter stated, at least one elder should take good notes so that the highlights of the entire program can be shared with the congregation on a local needs part at a service meeting in the near future. Thus, recorders of any type should not be connected to the facility's sound system or electricity and may only be used in a way that does not disturb others. So it's a special occasion and a special audience. Each branch of the Society is visited approximately once each year, what we call a zone visit, by a brother who represents the governing body. The purpose is to aid the branch volunteers in handling their assignments and to see that matters are being conducted in accord with the scriptures and in harmony with directions from the governing body. By means of such visits, there should be a stimulation of kingdom activities and improvement in the service that is provided to the brothers all across the country. This year, it's our privilege at the Canada branch to be visited by Brother Stephen Hardy, who serves as coordinator of the branch committee in Britain, accompanied by his wife, Anne. So, friends, I'm sure that you join me in extending a warm and hearty welcome to Brother and Sister Hardy on this occasion. We eagerly await Brother Hardy's encouraging and upbuilding talk entitled Taste and See That Jehovah is Good. However, beforehand, we will present a symposium of three brief reports on just some of the work being done at the Canada branch and in the field. So we hope that you will find this of interest and value. First of all, David Ganam will present a report on some of the legal activity being carried on at the branch. This will be followed by Clive Thomas, who will inform you about some other aspects of our branch activity, including printing. The symposium will conclude with Walter Trubick's report on the branch's field service activity. So it is now my pleasure to invite Brother Ganam to begin this symposium.
A report on the legal activity of Jehovah's Witnesses is really about brothers and sisters who serve Jehovah faithfully and loyally. Before there are lawyers, judges, and legal proceedings, one of Jehovah's people must be doing something Satan does not like. And in those circumstances, Jehovah never abandons us. He and his organization will sustain and support us. For example, in May 2004, four congregations in Coquitlam, British Columbia, worked hard together to build a beautiful double kingdom hall. They literally blasted it out of the side of a mountain. Shortly after the congregations occupied the Kingdom Hall, the city of Coquitlam secretly decided to refuse all future requests for exemption from property tax. For the four congregations, that meant they had to pay $16,500 in property taxes for 2005. For the 2006 taxation year, the local elders, with assistance from the legal department at the branch, tried to convince city council it was unfair to tax their place of worship while exempting all other places of worship in the community, including another kingdom hall. Three brothers appeared before a committee of the council and presented councillors with an 8-page color brochure produced by the graphics department at Bethel. But in response, the three councillors told the brothers their problem with the Kingdom Hall was it was not available for use by community groups. You see, in Coquitlam, almost every place of worship is used for child daycare, Weight Watchers, scouts, guides, numerous other activities in the community, and profit activities. They even share their churches with each other. The Roman Catholics shared with the United Church. The Seventh-day Adventists and the Baptists own a church together. The Seventh-day Adventists use it on Saturday. The Baptists use it on Sunday. And during the week, well, of course, it's a daycare. We, though, Jehovah's people, follow Jesus' example, and we do not allow our places of worship to be turned into houses of merchandise. The result? The four congregations received a $17,640 bill for taxes from the city. While we pay back Caesar's things to Caesar, Caesar wasn't being fair. The four congregations asked the BC Supreme Court to review the actions of the city of Coquitlam. The court agreed with the congregations that they had not been treated fairly. The court instructed the city to reconsider its decision. But the court did say the city could refuse tax exemptions for places of worship. With that mixed message from the court, would city council allow itself to be corrected in the spirit of Psalm 2 and verse 10? Well, at the second presentation to the committee of council, a newly elected counselor rose and spoke forthrightly in the congregation's favor, acting in the true spirit of Gamaliel. The committee agreed in principle to giving an exemption for 2007. At the full council meeting a week later, with approximately 100 brothers and sisters in attendance from the four congregations, the Westwood Kingdom Hall was included in the 2007 exemption bylaw. With lawyers' further assistance, the congregations received a full refund of the taxes paid. As we see, politicians are starting to question the benefits religious organizations receive from governments, like tax exemptions for churches. This does not surprise us. Jehovah has revealed what the future holds for Babylon the Great. We are pleased the City Council of Coquitlam let themselves be corrected. Jehovah turned council's previous opposition into a fine opportunity for a witness. Positive comments about the way Jehovah's Witnesses and their Kingdom Hall contribute to the community were made by councillors during public council meetings and were echoed by the local media. Another group of faithful ones that Jehovah supports are adolescents. "You're not old enough," is something young people hear often, but not from Jehovah when it comes to praising him. Notice Jehovah's invitation at Psalm 148, verses 7 and 12. Psalm 148, 7 and 12. "Praise Jehovah from the earth," verse 12, "you young men, and also you virgins, you old men, together with boys." There is no age limit to praising Jehovah. Even the very young say and do things that honor Jehovah and make his heart rejoice. We have so many very young publishers, and we rejoice as they accompany us in the field ministry. As these young ones gain experience and maturity, the time comes when they exercise their free will and, like Joshua of old, choose to serve Jehovah, demonstrating that choice by water baptism. Although Satan tries to demean the value of that choice, all across Canada, Jehovah has what Psalm 110, verse 3 describes as a company of young men and women just like dewdrops who serve him faithfully. The devotion of these mature young brothers and sisters to Jehovah has proven steadfast even when confronted with the blood issue. In recent years in Canada, the steadfast stand of our mature young brothers and sisters to abstain from blood has been in the public spotlight. The Supreme Court of Canada has agreed to hear one of those cases originating from Winnipeg, Manitoba. The case will be heard in May 2008. This was the fourth time we had asked the Supreme Court to hear a case about the legal rights of a mature young person to decide their own medical treatment. It is a sensitive and controversial issue. We need your help with this very important legal case. How? Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. "You also can help along by your supplication for us, in order that thanks may be given by many in our behalf for what is kindly given to us due to many prayerful faces. Please pray for this case. What specifically can you pray for? Well, please pray that the 9 justices of the Supreme Court of Canada have their hearts softened by Jehovah, that the judges can understand that although blood transfusions are controversial, our young ones are only endeavoring to make a responsible medical choice. Pray that a favorable witness is given, both by the written argument which we submit to the courts and by our oral argument. And most importantly, pray that Jehovah's will is done. Brother Thomas, let's hear the report on branch activity.
John 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, "My Father is glorified in this, that you keep bearing much fruit and prove yourselves my disciples." That verse shows that Jehovah is a productive God who looks for and rewards that same quality in his people. And those who serve at branch offices worldwide try their best to glorify Jehovah by the work of their hands, and Canada Branch is no exception. It keeps bearing much fruit in organizing and supporting the kingdom preaching and teaching work for the 113,000 publishers across this land. Now, while there are 113 branches of the Watchtower Society around the world, only 19 are printing branches, and Canada has the privilege of being one of them. Our large Hansho web offset press produces 10 magazines a second, and when it's printing pocket-sized tracts, they come off the press at the rate of 70 every second. All vital spiritual food to strengthen our brothers, as well as for use in the field. Now, one time, we printed only material for Canada. But in 2001, the governing body introduced a new arrangement. It was called regional printing, reducing the number of printing branches so that each prints not only for its own country, but for other countries of its region in the world. So now, in addition to what we print for Canada, a large part of our work, maybe some 40% of it, goes to the United States branch. Besides tracts, this includes brochures in English and Spanish and many other languages, as well as such things as congregation forms, like the field service report slip and the house-to-house record. We've just completed the printing of the district convention programs and the badge cards for this summer's conventions in the U.S. as well as in Canada. And recently, the governing body approved our branch to print magazines in 8 more languages other than English and French, starting in January of 2008 this year. And these languages include Arabic, Armenian, Cambodian, Chinese Simplified, Greek, Italian, Persian, and Spanish. So how much do we print altogether? Well, looking at the last service year, we've produced some 20 million magazines, and we'll probably print a little more than that this year. Almost 70 million tracts and about 1.8 million brochures. And then on top of that, of course, there are special campaigns such as the memorial invitations that we just enjoyed using. So the printery is kept very busy. Now, some of our printing goes to some very remote and interesting places. For example, the United States also supplies our tracts and brochures printed in Canada to 25 other branches, including the islands of Micronesia in the South Pacific. So when a publisher or a pioneer places a tract, Life in a Peaceful New World, in Marshallese, in the Marshall Islands, or in Chukis, in the Chuk Islands, thousands of miles away from here, it says on the bottom, printed in Canada. Now, it may take us only 2 or 3 minutes in our press to print enough tracts for the entire island, but this is life-giving spiritual food for the honest-hearted, and we're very happy and proud to have a share in providing it. Printing is a very complicated business, and our brothers are always working hard to improve the efficiency of the machinery. Recently, our machine shop designed a press component, I won't go into all the details, but a press component which was such an improvement on the standard design that when other branches that have the same press heard about it, they wanted us to make the same component for them. So now we're manufacturing them for Australia, for Brazil, for Britain, Colombia, Mexico, Nigeria, South Africa, and Spain. It's a fine example of the cooperative spirit that exists among Jehovah's people, and particularly among the branches, that will result in our branch in Canada making a significant contribution to printing efficiency and quality in many parts of the world. A historic moment in our printery took place recently, and it only took a few seconds when we printed 5,000 memorial invitations in the Blackfoot language. Now, this was the first time that we have ever printed anything in that native tongue. And this highlights a new development at our branch, the translation into native North American languages. Statistics Canada indicates that there are close to 1.2 million First Nations people in Canada. Now, although the majority speaks either French or English to some extent, as we know, it's long been demonstrated that a person's mother tongue is generally the language of the heart. For that reason, efforts are presently being made at the branch to translate some tracts and brochures that could be used to present the truth in the mother tongue of native peoples. Items have recently been produced, as we mentioned, in Blackfoot, but also in Plains Cree, Omoshkigo Cree, Inuktitut, Montagnais, and Northern Ojibwe. 14 translation projects in native languages in Canada have been approved by the Writing Committee and are currently being worked on by our translation team. Publishers out in the field reported good success in using, for example, the Blackfoot Memorial Invitation, with many impressed to have that tract in their own language. One man was so amazed, he said he's going to enlarge it and hang it on his wall. In Fort McLeod, Alberta, where the close to where the Blackfoot Reserve is, they were very pleased to have 52 native Blackfoot natives attend the memorial held in their own language this year. So an excellent result. In addition, the required brochure has been translated in Quebec Sign Language on DVD. Now, this too was the first publication ever made available in that language, even in the secular field. There's never been anything published in that language. And this was very well received by the deaf community in Quebec. One sister wrote in. She reported that she tried to study with a deaf French lady using ASL material, American Sign Language, but really couldn't stir the woman's interest. But when she got the brochure, the required brochure, in QSL, Quebec Sign Language, a study was soon started. And now she comes regularly to the meetings. Our sister was so excited that she wrote into the branch. She said, "I'm very touched to see that the truth in one's own language can truly reach a heart. Words cannot express how grateful I feel for our precious LSQ required brochure." The Hospital Information Services Department is also working hard to educate doctors on alternatives to blood transfusions. For more than 10 years now, brothers from the HIS department have been making use of an exhibit booth to provide information at medical conferences. A recent conference was held in Calgary. It was attended by 3,800 delegates, and many doctors were surprised and impressed by the information provided. Others clearly have already got the message. One medical lecturer told our brothers at the booth, he said he had recently written a report to the World Health Organization in which he concluded with this quote. He said, and I quote, "Jehovah's Witnesses might have been right all along about the blood transfusion issue," end quote. Of course, none of this work at the branch could be accomplished if our buildings were not kept in good repair. Since many of parts of our branch property are now more than 25 years old, our maintenance department is kept busy repairing and refurbishing. Projects in the past year have included upgrades or redecoration of the laundry, the residence lobby, and the infirmary, which does a fine job in caring for older members of our family. A final section of the printery roof will be replaced when the summer arrives. Our carpentry shop has recently acquired robotic machining equipment to keep up with the demand for Kingdom Hall furniture. And anywhere on the branch, in every department, wherever possible, energy-efficient equipment is being installed to make the wisest use of those dedicated dollars. Well, this is just a glimpse of some of the activity going on at the branch. The 400 volunteers who serve there view it as a fine privilege to serve their brothers and sisters out in the field, and they pray that the fruit of their labor glorifies Jehovah and adds luster to his name. But what progress is being made in the field service? Let's listen to a report from Brother Walter Trubick.
Solomon wrote in Proverbs 15, verse 30, "The brightness of the eyes makes the heart rejoice. A report that is good makes the bones fat." The bones are made fat when they are filled with marrow. This invigorates the whole body and makes the heart rejoice. And the joy of heart is reflected in the brightness of the eyes. Such is the effect of a good report. Are not reports of the worldwide expansion of Jehovah's worship a source of genuine encouragement to us? Learning about all that is being accomplished in the kingdom preaching and disciple-making work indeed invigorates us to have a greater share in the ministry. The experiences of those who make Jehovah their God and take up true worship fill our hearts with joy. Since a good report has such a powerful effect, we are certain you will be strengthened to know some of the exciting things happening in the Canadian field. Just over a week ago, the February Field Service report for the country was compiled. We are pleased to see a total of 108,712 publishers reporting during the month, despite the challenging winter we have faced in many parts of this country. A total of 43,675 Bible studies were conducted, the highest in the past 3 years. A highlight of the report was the new peak of 8,867 regular pioneers. At Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I laid before them the good news which I am preaching among the nations." Publishers in Canada are doing just that among the many language groups making up a diverse population. There are currently 1,328 congregations and 109 foreign language groups in Canada. Along with English and French, we have congregations and groups in 26 other languages. Since 2002, the branch has organized 62 classes in 16 languages to assist pioneers and publishers who are willing to learn another language to work in some of these foreign language territories. To date, almost 1,000 brothers and sisters have benefited from this provision. Language classes are currently being held in Amharic, Chinese Mandarin, Native Cree, Persian, Punjabi, and Vietnamese. Another part of the field that is receiving attention is our unassigned territory, the majority of which is located in the Northwest Territories and the territory of Nunavut. In addition to giving a personal witness to people in the far north, the branch office has also invited selected congregations to assist in covering the territory, either through letter writing or telephone witnessing. Presently, we have two congregations in the Northwest Territories, one in Yellowknife and the other in Hay River. During the past year, however, a family of four have moved to Inuvik in the Northwest Territories, where they are now giving a witness. There are also six publishers living in Iqaluit, in the territory of Nunavut, and they are having a most enjoyable time preaching. One of the publishers started a Bible study with five young men in the youth center. It's a detention center for young girls and boys who have committed some crime. The brothers report that each time they share in the ministry, more individuals request a Bible study. In fact, one couple reported that in their first week of service, 15 people asked for a Bible study. During this month of March, six publishers came to assist that small group to cover the territory with the memorial invitation. The day of the memorial, they had a severe snowstorm in the area. However, by evening it had stopped, and they were happy to have had 15 in attendance, including three interested persons from the territory. During the invitation work, the brothers also offered free home Bible studies and received 40 requests. One of the sisters, who was taking the taxi home, was asked by the driver why she had moved to Iqaluit. Our sister explained that she and her husband had moved there to teach the Bible. The taxi driver, who had moved from Russia to Iqaluit 6 years earlier, told her how disappointed he was with religion. He told our sister that he had two questions he wanted to ask God, but when he asked the religious person the questions, they would simply say, "God knows everything, don't ask questions." Our sister asked what his two questions were. He said, the first is, why is there so much suffering? And second, why do all these religions do such bad things? Well, our sister took the opportunity to explain that the Bible answers both of his questions. He took his cab out of service for 20 minutes to hear the answers. He gave his phone number and said he wanted someone to visit him as he really wants to learn more. Our sister assured him that she would obtain literature in his own language and arrange for someone to visit. We pray for Jehovah's continued blessing on the work in this isolated area. 1 week ago today, we attended the memorial of Christ's death, and we're confident that all of you had a good share in the distribution of that beautiful invitation throughout your territory. Here are just a few experiences connected with this campaign. While doing street witnessing, a brother offered the invitation to a man who was waiting at the bus stop. After accepting the invitation, the man said he had studied with Jehovah's Witnesses about 10 years ago, and then stated stopping was the biggest mistake of his life. Our brother offered to resume a Bible study with him, which he readily agreed to. The interested man acknowledged that he prays every day, and that a day does not go by where he has not thought about his Bible study. He expressed his concern that Jehovah would give up on him since he had done nothing for the truth for years. Well, he was reassured that Jehovah has not given up on him, and arrangements were made to begin a Bible study. In fact, a Bible study was started in the Bible Teach with him. In another congregation, during a meeting for field service, a woman entered the Kingdom Hall asking for a copy of the memorial invitation. You see, she had received one in her mailbox at home, but she had misplaced it. As she wanted to attend the memorial, she came looking for another invitation with the information on it, giving the time and the location. Among those who attended the memorial in one congregation in the province of Quebec were six individuals who showed up because of the invitation campaign. They were not Bible studies or return visits of the local publishers. As of yesterday afternoon, 1,178 congregations had already reported, and to that point, the attendance at our memorial was 164,110, We expect that number to rise as the latter reports come in. Jehovah is indeed blessing our diligent effort to search out deserving ones in our territory. People with a humble and honest heart are responding to the kingdom message. In December of 2006, a brother called on a man in the territory who had shown some interest in the past, and he wanted to offer him a copy of the Bible Teach book. They had a fine discussion with him, and after leaving, with him and his wife, and then they decided they would return to help the man with further information. When they returned, they had a fine discussion with the wife, and after leaving, they commented on the changed attitude she had since at previous visits. She was quite cool toward them. They learned later that she felt this way toward them because of what others had told her about Jehovah's Witnesses. Impressed by her changed attitude, the next time this couple were preparing for the field service, they briefly discussed their call with her and decided that they would visit her again. When she answered the door, and before the brother and sister could begin a discussion, she asked them a question. "Did you intend to come today?" she asked. The woman then said, "I'll tell you why I asked that question." She had been reading the Bible Teach book that morning and stopped to pray, and this is what she said. "If this is the truth that I am reading, please bring those people back today." The Bible study was started. The woman and her husband began to attend meetings at the Kingdom Hall. She made changes in her life, made progress to become an unbaptized publisher in the spring of 2007, and was baptized in September of last year. When new ones show an interest in the good news, we invite them to attend at a meeting at the Kingdom Hall. How good we feel when those invited come to our place of worship, whether it is at one of our Kingdom Halls or Assembly Halls. Our places of worship are among the most inviting and impressive-looking buildings in the community, which often in themselves give a good witness to Jehovah's name. Now, this is due in part to all the brothers and sisters who volunteer their talents and work with the 17 regional building committees in Canada. These committees achieve excellent results in building or renovating our Kingdom Halls. During 2007, the 17 regional building committees built 1 double and 8 single auditorium Kingdom Halls and cared for 188 renovation projects. Projects for 2008 include 5 new double and 34 single auditorium Kingdom Halls and 214 renovations on their schedule. To assist the brothers serving on these committees, a 2-day seminar was conducted in 4 locations across Canada this past winter, where information on organization, safety, and training was highlighted. Hundreds of you brothers and sisters have volunteered to support this arrangement, and for this, you are to be commended. One regional building committee arranged to use a local assembly hall for a day to put on a program and interview volunteers for the various departments needed on a project. A total of 635 volunteers attended, far beyond their expectations. Another regional building committee arranged for training sessions in masonry work, during which 32 brothers and 23 sisters were trained by brothers who were professional bricklayers. Indeed, good work is being accomplished in many areas of the Canadian field. As we look to the future, may we keep in mind the words of the Apostle Paul as recorded in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. There the Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "At any rate, to what extent we have made progress, let us go on walking orderly in the same routine." Our continued zealous participation in the field ministry will result in further progress and more encouraging and refreshing reports.
Psalm 106, verse 5, speaks of the psalmist desiring to rejoice with Jehovah's happy people. This serves as a suitable basis for Psalm 201, Rejoicing with God's Nation. So friends, would you please stand and we'll sing together Psalm 201, Rejoicing with God's Nation.